James Comey served as FBI director beginning in 2013. He was fired by President Trump in 2017. Earlier, while FBI director, he came under intense criticism for concluding that Hillary Clinton, then the Democratic presidential candidate, had shown, quote, extreme carelessness by using a private email server for matters related to the U.S. State Department. However, they did not advise pressing charges. Clinton believes this contributed to her loss to Donald Trump in 2016. James Comey's job now is that of an author. His latest work is Westport. It is the second installment in his Nora Carrollton mystery series and was released last week. I spoke with James Comey on Monday about his initial reaction to Donald Trump being convicted last week on 34 felony charges.
I was surprised with how strong the prosecution's case was. That wasn't obvious to me from just reading the indictment. So I was impressed with the case they put on. I was not surprised with the conviction, given the strength of that case. And I think in general, it's a great demonstration, civics lesson really, for America about what the rule of law looks like. No one's above it, and everyone is treated the same. No matter who you are, you have to sit at the defendant's table and be quiet. The jury is protected. Your lawyers get to make every argument they want to make, cross-examine witnesses. That's how it works. And we've had a lot of challenges in our amazing country over the last 5 to 10 years. But one of the shining, the best parts of our civic culture, I think, has been the way the court system has conducted itself. And this is a demonstration of that.
What do you expect out of sentencing on July 11th?
I don't know. I wouldn't expect a jail sentence on these facts, but I've never seen a defendant beg for it more than this defendant. Because one of the things a sentencing judge takes into account is, what is your level of contrition, acceptance of responsibility, or even if you don't admit you were guilty, how have you conducted yourself? And this defendant is taking a flamethrower to the system, the judge personally, the jury. And so I don't know where that it's almost like he's begging to be put into a jail cell, and it wouldn't be a cell. I think they put him in a double-wide trailer out in the grass near the concertina wire top fence. But I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. If anyone's going to get jail on these facts, it's this defendant.
And why is that? I mean, this isn't, you can't call that a strategy, can you?
I'm not even sure Donald Trump can understand Donald Trump's mind, but I suspect it's part of his, I am Nelson Mandela, that my base should be lashed even more tightly to me because of the way I'm being persecuted. And so maybe in some weird way, he wants a jail sentence, although I don't know whether he'd have the hair care products he needs if he's in custody. And so that might cut another way that he doesn't expect. But it could be part of his narrative that my chance of getting elected goes up if I'm a martyr in some way. But again, I'm no expert in politics in general and definitely not in the mind of Donald Trump.
And as far as appeal, when you look at how strong this conviction was by this particular jury, and of how that stands up upon appeal, and how you go forward in a case like this, do you see it standing up?
I think so. I mean, there's always a chance on appeal for a defendant who's convicted in a jury trial. It's pretty small, but I could imagine them making arguments, not that the evidence was insufficient, because the evidence was overwhelming, that he committed the offenses. Instead, I expect they would make a legal argument that there's something defective in the way in which the Manhattan District Attorney's Office charged the case under particular New York statutes. And so I don't know how that ends up. It's always possible. But I don't see him having any success making an argument that the evidence was insufficient.
When you think about this, how much is this is based? Because I was surprised by this, but like your one-on-one time with former President Trump is quite limited, isn't it?
Yeah, although I started to feel PTSD creeping up my spine just at the mention of it. But yeah, I only worked under him for 5 months before he fired me. And had, you know, probably 5 or 6 conversations with him during that period of time, all of which unfortunately are memorable. But yes, I had dinner alone with him for 90 minutes, which gave me a decent window into the person that most people I don't think get. But again, I'm no expert.
But I guess another way of asking this question is, but what we all see probably isn't all that different than what you had noted at a private dinner.
That's right. He is, if he has a virtue, he doesn't have many, but one of them is he says out loud things that most people wouldn't say at all. He says them in private. He says them in public. He's more foul-mouthed in private, but he's the same narcissistic, amoral person on television ranting about, you know, the system's out to get him, as he is over eating his vanilla ice cream.
I mean, not surprisingly, he has lashed out quite forcibly against the judicial system, against Alvin Bragg, against the court, against the judge. And that is, I mean, that's often par for the course and what seems to be his way of dealing with this. What I think for many of us has been disturbing and maybe not even surprising there either, but at least disturbing, is so many Republicans in the highest levels of office who are questioning the judicial system, are questioning our way of law and justice in this country. I'm interested in your thoughts on that and how damaging that can be, or are we seeing the damage right now?
Well, it's disgraceful that they would do that, but it's another reminder that these people aren't leaders. They're followers. They're trying to figure out where the base is and go there and then announce that they've led them there. And so Donald Trump's base is lashed to him like cult members to a cult leader. And so they're just trying to echo that. It's understandable, although it's still disgraceful. But the harm comes in the danger that people will internalize these lies, that Donald Trump lied for years and still lies about the nature of the FBI, for example. It's really bad for America if people internalize those lies, sort of bake them in. You're never going to affect the minds of those who are really trapped in the cult, but I worry about the ones on the periphery of it. So, yes, it's bad. And, you know, these fools, if they understood, our country needs the rule of law. It's the foundation of the whole place. And so the idea that they're going to call us a banana republic and all these sorts of things, it not only is nonsensical, it's dangerous because it could find its way into the national bloodstream more broadly than the MAGA world.
You believe that the United States will escape the Trump cult, but you also believe that it's going to take a while to get to that point.
Yeah, because I've worked a lot of fraud cases, and I know how hard it is for people to escape a fraud because it requires the defrauded to admit something about themselves that's really hard to admit. I was a fool. And so it's the reason Donald Trump is absolutely true, absolutely right when he says, I could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and not lose followers, because to leave Donald Trump requires you to say, I made a mistake that is a really fundamental. At the core of my identity, I was fooled. And so if you didn't leave Donald Trump after January 6th, it's very, very hard to get away. And so the only way people escape a fraud is it just goes away over time. Slowly, 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 they're able to tell themselves a different story.
There are many who looked at what happened on Thursday as a reframing of the narrative, which it's no longer Donald Trump against a, let's say, wobbly 81-year-old, that it is Joe Biden running against a convicted felon. And that changes things dramatically. We don't know if that is the case or not, but it does seem to put a different spin on it that, okay, you can look at a person of their age, you can look at what they're doing and in misspeaking and tripping and so forth, but that's much different than being convicted of 34 counts.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, elections are choices, and there's a choice between two candidates, and many people would wish they would design a different candidate on the other side to run against Donald Trump. I get that, but this is the candidate running against Donald Trump, and Donald Trump cannot be president again. Dozens of his own former cabinet members have told the American people, this dude can never be allowed near the Oval Office again. So to the extent this conviction reminds people of that, awakens them to the danger, it's very, very important, and reminds people, too, that a vote for anyone other than Joe Biden is a vote for this kind of person, and America simply cannot run that risk.
For you, James, was that a progression in thought of over time of putting that all together, or did you come to that realization pretty quickly that this particular man as president was dangerous?
I could see it in the middle of dinner at the end of his first week. So I think it was January 27th of 2017 when he surprised me with a one-on-one dinner, which I thought was going to be a group dinner. And I saw the narcissism, the hunger for affirmation up close, and most disturbingly, the absolute disregard, lack of any concern at all for how things should work in America. When I tried to talk to him about why it was so important that the FBI be a bit separate from the executive authority of the president, under the president, but that it was so important for the country that law enforcement be not governed by political bias. And he not only didn't care, he affirmatively disagreed with that and said, I want this for me. And I realized in that moment, this is a really dangerous person. And my job, I thought, was to stay, serve the country and the FBI, and try to protect the institution as best I could. But that lasted another few months.
Looking at the job, and given so few people have held the job, what do you make of Christopher Wray's time in office?
I think he's done a fine job. He's a very good person, a person of principle. I think he's made some judgments that I get. That, for example, he was very quiet after January the 6th, I think, to survive so that the amoral president wouldn't fire him and put some bottom-of-the-barrel wingnut in acting director position. And so I think he was making judgments to try to survive, and I can't second-guess those judgments. But he is a person of integrity, and you have to have somebody like that in that job.
James Comey, a great pleasure to speak to you. I thank you so much for being with us. What a delight.
Oh, same for me. I really appreciate the conversation.
Again, James Comey served as FBI director from 2013 to 2017. He is now an author of fiction. His latest work, Westport, is the second installment in his Nora Carrollton series. It was released last week from Mysterious Press. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.